And I want this to be for each of you that have come. I want this to be a time where that you walk out of this place super encouraged and full of hope. And so we're going to share different kinds of things today and different stories in the area of healing and wholeness that I think are really important. And I want to share a little bit about even why we're doing this, because I think that's really foundational to even what's gotten us, you know, to this place. And I have been a big believer of healing. It's like pretty much came out of the womb, you know, having to believe in healing or one way or another. And so I've really been on my own journey where I just have no, how can I say this? And where please let me hear this with ears and with no arrogance. I just really trust that the Lord will heal. And so I have not changed my view that the Lord is Rapha. He is our healer. So anytime Jesus is present, healing is present. So there's always healing taking place. My concern has been over the years that we place God in a box and to a formula. And I felt like a few years ago, the Lord really took me backwards a bit. And sometimes with the Lord, with me, one of the things that he does is it's almost like a slow motion thing where he'll show me things in slow, in like a moving picture. And one of the things that I was seeing was in the area of the church, in the area of healing. And I'd be sitting at different events, and all of a sudden I started seeing healing in a different light. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about the area of wholeness. And I love it when God moves. I mean, we love it when God moves, right? I mean, it never gets old. But one of the things that I began to feel was that I began to feel where we were leaving so many people out in the context of the message and the physical healing, and it become more as a testimony and a show rather than the person that God wanted to really minister to. So personally, this is just my story. Obviously, the Lord's on it because the lights have come on. But this is really true. This is my story. I started to second guess what I have been a part of for so many years. I've been in ministry 28 years. And I really started second guessing if I was actually doing damage to the church by feeding a culture that liked the show rather than seeing the person. And I think we're all guilty of that. So I've had to question myself. Can I say that? Well, I did. But so I'm going to tell you something that the Lord has walked me through. This has been a process. And so throughout this day, we're going to, because I do want people, I want you to be really encouraged. I want you to be challenged because I think it's very important. Anytime we open the word, we should be challenged in one way or another. But I want, whether you're needing in healing, whether you want to minister healing, whether you're struggling with physical or emotional or spiritual healing need in any way, I want you to just breathe and just ask the Lord, if you know the Lord. If you don't, a good question to ask him is for him to reveal himself to you today. But just relax and let God speak to you. Because anytime the Lord begins to shift the church, we are so slow. And sometimes it's like moving a massive ship. And we get stuck in ways and mindsets and the way we do things because something works. And then we're like, yeah, this is working. You know, this is. And the Lord could be totally moving on something else. I mean, we have to remember that the church functioned for centuries without the Spirit of God. So we could get really good at doing stuff without having God really in the center of it. And so one of the things that the Lord began to speak to me about is he said, I'm going to teach you again about the meaning and the purpose and the goal of healing. So I'm going to give you a very short version of this morning because there's so many things that we want to do and we want to have time for the question and answer that Gareth talked about. We want to have time to have a little bit of interaction. We're going to have ministry throughout the day, all kinds of different things so that this is a more interactive time where we can really get a lot done in a short period of time. How about that? You Brits are good at that. So I'm having a lot of faith in you. Okay? All right. So the Lord began to speak to me about how the healing in itself is the gospel. It's the gospel itself is a message of wholeness and what God's given to us. Romans 3:23, Paul states the good news of what God has done for us and the power that we've been justified by a just act, by a just God. And so our best efforts of whatever we can bring to the table are never going to be good enough, never going to be righteous enough. It's never going to be the fullness of what Christ has for us. But because of the cross and because of what God's done to us, we have this access now that's open for us in all this kingdom that the King has invited us into. And a huge part of that, and the message of that, is this meaning of wholeness. So the meaning of healing really is just salvation. If we talk about what healing means, it means salvation. It means people coming into Christ, coming to Christ. Gospel itself means good news. Like, if your theology doesn't involve good news, you've got to adjust your theology. Because this is good news. The gospel in itself is the very life-changing power that changes everything about us, inside and out. There's nothing else that has the power to do that. So we cannot talk about healing and wholeness without talking about the power of the gospel message, because that's the foundation of all of it. That's the point of everything, is the gospel message. We don't talk about the gospel enough, right? We don't. And what I love about this is that it's all-inclusive. Like, this is for each and every one of us. Like, the invitation to the gospel, the invitation to the wholeness message of what God has given to us. Isaiah 61, chapter verse 1 through 4, talks about that this message that Christ has come, that he sent his son, which is to all of us, to heal up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom, to release people from oppression. So if you take the King and you invite the King into your life, you invite the King's kingdom. And with the kingdom is where we get all of this fullness of what God has given to us. But it's Christ's message where he says who he's going to. And who he's going to is you and I, who are the brokenhearted, who are the oppressed, who are those that are poor, whether we realize it or not. We are the object of his coming. So the word oppression is very important when we talk about the kingdom, because anytime you talk about the kingdom, the word oppression is everywhere. It's all through Isaiah. It's all through the Gospels. And everywhere you find the word oppression, you find where it gets the attention of God. And so where you find oppression is where you find the enemy at work. The word oppression translated means the inability to move. It means, have you ever had one of those seasons, one of those days, where you just feel like you can't get out of bed? There's an oppression. It is the way the enemy operates. The way the enemy operates is he oppresses us. He puts something heavy upon us where we feel like we cannot move, we cannot change, we can't become whole. And so when we find that, if you read all through the scriptures, you will find that where you see the hand, the oppression of the enemy, you find where it gets God's attention, because that's why he came. He came to release the oppressed. And when we talk about healing, that's really the core and the importance of what this is. One of the names of God is El Roy, which I love because it means God, the God who sees me. Now, this is very important, I believe, in talking about the gospel, when we talk about healing. I need to know that God sees me. I need to know that no matter what's going on in my circumstances and the things that I'm having to go through or whatever it is that I'm in, I need to know that God sees me. Not even so much my circumstances, but that he sees me, because my circumstances are going to change. So the promise of what we have in this is, even in the midst of all of that, we have a God who sees us. He sees everything that we're in. He's Rapha, meaning our healer. It means that he's our physician. And that means for all of us, it means the hurts of the nations. There's so much encompassed in the Rapha of our God. It also means restored to favor. It means that in individual distresses, but it also means that the corporate. It's the word Rapha of God being our healer. It's just everything, because that's who God is. Everything that God touches changes. It just changes it. It affects it in every way. So Psalm 103:3 says this, that God forgives all of our sins and he heals all our diseases. One of those verses when you talk about healing that we hear all the time. We've addressed the diseases oftentimes being physical, but it means actually to the entirety of the person. Because many times we think of God healing us as a physical sort of encounter with God, but it means the entirety of the person, which means you cannot talk about healing and not talk about the physical aspect, the emotional aspect, as well as the spiritual aspect. That's what Jesus paid the price for. That's what wholeness actually means. So when it says that he's healed all of our diseases, it means translated our suffering. I love that. Because the thing is, it doesn't matter whether you're in physical pain or you're in emotional pain or spiritual pain. When you're in pain, pain is pain. So then to know that God sees you is huge because it means that you're not alone. So very important. Psalm 147:3 says that he heals the brokenhearted and bandages up their wounds. Wounds meaning pain. It means hurt. It means injury. It means sorrow. So we see this interactive God who enters into our situation and enters into our suffering. So no matter what you're in today, God enters into that with you because that's who he is. He does not abandon us. He does not leave us. He's with us and he binds us up as we go. So it's not just the physical, it's the emotional as well. So what I've seen throughout the years of the church is that we've been really getting better at the physical, which is important. But the truth is that's not the point of healing. The point of healing is the entirety of the person. That's the wholeness. Because the truth is if God heals your broken leg, if your mind's crazy, you're crazy. And if you need healing in your mind, I'll just tell you this. If you need healing in your mind, and this is what I have such a struggle with. If you have cancer, somebody will bring you a casserole. If you have anxiety, nobody will mention it. So we as the church have a great opportunity right now to be present. Now here's the thing. The church's job is not to fix people. And so where we've gotten caught in physical healing is that we're to fix everybody that's broken. No, actually not. It is God's desire to be present. And when God is present, God does what God does best. It is not my job to fix you. It is my job to be present and to see what God is doing. Do you understand? Because when God is present, he heals up the broken. And when God is present, he makes himself known amongst the suffering. So healing is always taking place. And this is where I'm like, we've got to get out of this box that we've put healing in because where God is, healing is taking place. So here's the good news. Whether you feel it, whether you see it or not, healing is happening. And I'll just tell you, healing is one of those things that you're never going to understand this side of heaven. You're never going to understand it because it just doesn't make any sense. I've prayed for people that I've loved, that are elders in the church, that I thought for sure God was going to heal them because they're great people and they're good to be around them. I need them. I need them in the church, right? Prayed for them, and no, they died and went to be with Jesus. Prayed for other people who didn't know the Lord, really honestly could care less, see God miraculously heal them, and they don't really care. So I'm just like, it will mess with your mind. It's like, if I was God, I would have everything the opposite. You know what I'm saying? So healing will never be to a formula. I'll just tell you that. Because God is not a formula God. He's a relational God. So he's present. We need to know that God is present. So that's the meaning of healing. The purpose of healing. 1 Peter 2:24, again, famous verse, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins, live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. So again, this is a picture of the gospel that because of the cross that we've been rescued and that we've been saved, we're no longer condemned, we're no longer without hope. That's also good news. But many still live under that condemnation. So there's a healing that needs to take place. Is that not true? God is present. God has not left you alone. God has not left you in your stuff. Just to know that God has not left you, even when you feel like he has. So the main purpose of the gospel is to release us from condemnation, that we're no longer under the law. There's a healing that takes place in that. In John chapter 2, where Jesus heals the whole man on the Sabbath. The Greek word actually for healing in that chapter, translated, comes from the word hugis. And again, it means the entirety of the person. That when Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, what he was doing is he was restoring the man. So it is the entirety of the man. So I'll just tell you this. It doesn't really matter if you are, if you have cancer on the outside of your body, if you have cancer in your liver, or you have cancer from bitterness of the soul, it will eat you away. And so what we need to know is we need to know the price that Jesus paid for salvation and what we have access to. But also at the end of the day, when it comes to healing, we need to understand the fullness of it and not just get stuck on one aspect thinking that's all of who God is. So John Wilkinson said this on his study in Greek words in the New Testament about health. He said this, he said, health is thought of in terms of wholeness, well-being, life, strength, and salvation. What modern man confines to the body, the Bible extends to the whole of man's being and relationships. It is only when man's being is whole and his relationships right can he truly be described as healthy. So when it touches every area of our life, God is healing. When it touches our relationships, God is at work. God is healing. There's 41 distinct sort of interactions with Jesus and healing people in the four Gospels, whether it be physically, whether it be mentally. And in the passage in Peter where it talks about that he forgives all of our sins and heals all our diseases, again, the word translated for healing in that verse means wholeness. So it all comes down to, again, God bringing holiness. So it's not just freeing us from sin. It's not just about surviving, but we're called to become whole. So that's what God has given to us. What that looks like for all of us is very different. Isaiah 61 gives the picture that we are a broken people, that we are a lost people, that we are a poor people. But one of my favorite scriptures about the ministry model of Jesus is found in Acts chapter 10, where it talks about that Jesus went around doing acts of kindness, releasing people out from under the oppression of the devil. Kindness has the power to release people from oppression. When you're nice to somebody, this is how Jesus is so kind to lower the bar for us, is that if you could actually just be nice, you are advancing the kingdom of God. But you don't realize that actually being kind takes people out from under oppression, because we live in a mean world, and we live in an unkind world, and we live in a world that's broken and that's suffering. And so Jesus, you know, brings us into a place where it's like, no, actually, if you could just be nice to people, you're advancing my kingdom. So that's a picture of who Jesus is. That's actually a summary in Acts chapter 10 of the ministry of Jesus, that he went around releasing people from oppression by doing acts of good, acts of kindness. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is kind. He's good. So when it comes to praying for people, we've got to think of the entirety of the person. It's not just that we're praying for conditions. We're not praying for conditions. We're praying for people. These are people. So what people are standing in front of us, every person matters. What they're in matters. Their struggle matters. They're a person. They're not about, I'm not opposed to the testimony, just so you know this, but I am opposed to the testimony if it actually devalues the person. And I am opposed to the testimony if it's actually used to exploit the person. Like, I don't want my story like that, if I'm going to be honest with you. When God's moving on me, do I actually want to do that? I want to do that when I feel like God's asked me to do it. I don't want to be, because at the end of the day, life is not played on a conference highlight reel. You know, life is hard. And so we need to minister to people in that way. And in this is why we're never really going to fully understand healing this side of heaven. I've seen in my own family many times over where I've prayed for lots of people that get healed from things and my own family doesn't get healed. So it's just one of those things that I'm just never going to understand. So we need to see the person in front of us. That's the purpose. That's part of what we've been brought into. And if we read through 11, you know, chapter of Hebrews, we're going to find all the people of faith that have gone before us, that were faithful, that did what God asked them to do, and many of them did not see what they wanted to see this side of heaven. So let me just say this to you. I do not believe this is heaven. All of this theology about this better not be heaven. I'll tell you that. I'm going to be really irritated. Well, this better not be heaven, and I should look a lot better to be vain. But this is not heaven. But if you have a heaven theology or the power that you have the power to bring heaven, I don't want, this is why I started writing about transformation, transformed or whatever the book is that I wrote. Because I was like, I do not want the pressure on me to pull heaven into this situation. Because I think God's big enough that if I just move aside, when he enters, everything changes. So it is a small sort of language thing that we have going through the church. And it's a big one. It's a big one because what you believe is how you behave. And so your theology matters. And at the end of the day, this is not heaven. And with a heaven theology, there is no theology for suffering. So what we do is we don't just leave out a few. We leave out all of us. There's not one person that's got it all together. And the people that tell you that are lying to you. Let me just tell you that. That's all for free. They're lying to you. Nobody has it all together. And we never will until we see. I wish, but that just makes it all the glorious all the more to see him and to be with him and to anticipate that. We see glimpses of God's kingdom breaking in. And we see where God, when he moves and he heals and he restores in ways that we think, oh, God's healed. But I'm a firm believer that God is doing way more than we see. And so we've got to just expand that just a bit. Gordon Fee said this about healing. He said, God is revealed to have limitless power and resources. He regularly shows himself strong on behalf of his people, yet his people still live out their redeemed lives in a fallen world where the whole creation, including the human body, in its bondage to decay, which is Romans 8, and will continue to be so until we receive the redemptions of our body. And that's what I believe. All creation is groaning. It will get louder. We should not be surprised. The groaning will get louder and louder and louder. Why? Because they're groaning for the redemption of the body. So we should not be surprised that there's more stuff going on and that the groaning's getting louder. That's another teaching. We shouldn't be surprised by any of that because that Jesus has already warned us about it. Healing is one of those things that God has given to us that's a gift. And just like any other gift, we can take the gift. But how God heals me is going to be very different than how God heals you. And how God brings restoration to you is going to be very different than how God brings restoration to me. And so if I can encourage us in anything, the meaning, the gospel message, the power of salvation, because we've got to get back to the gospel and that being central. There's nothing more powerful than the gospel message. The purpose that we're not ministering to conditions, we're ministering to people. And the purpose is that people encounter Christ and that they encounter, it's not about us. This is not about even the person praying. This is about the person in front of us. This is about a real human being who's in probably some great suffering on some level. If we're walking in that, then the purpose of healing, you know, Jesus didn't heal anybody to prove anything. I heard this whole teaching that Jesus was going around healing people just to prove that he was the Christ. Pretty sure he doesn't need to prove anything. He doesn't need to prove anything. And he does what he does, and what he does is amazing. And he's doing more at work, actually, in this area than we can ever imagine. But Jesus doesn't do things just to kind of prove that he's God. He also doesn't create sickness so that he can actually create a miracle. Come on. You know what I mean? We got to get our thinking right here. Like we live in a fallen world. And in the battle, people get sick. And in battle, people die. And in battle, people get injured. And it's hard. And this is the key. You got to stay in the battle. So no matter where you are in your healing or wherever it is that you're suffering with or whatever it is that you're caring for, let me just tell you this. The only way the enemy wins is if you quit. That's the way the enemy only wins. You hang in there. So the healing is not just for everybody around us. It's for us first. It's always to us before it's through us. If we have the meaning right and we have the purpose right, then our goal becomes very clear because we're not using people. We're not using ourselves. We're not building ministries. What we're doing is we're bringing God's kingdom into people's lives that they'll become saved and they'll encounter a good God. They won't encounter, I'll tell you this, I've seen it so many times throughout the years, too many times to count, sadly, where people have prayed and said, you know, your son is going to be healed and their son dies. The damage effect of that on the family is horrific. So we've got to just get a little bit smarter here in the church and turn the ship a little bit and see actually what's the world in front of us. Now, this is one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me about the last several years, and that is what's happening in our culture now. It's the same thing in the States as it is here, is that 1 in 4 families are struggling or caring for somebody with mental illness. So there's not a person in this room that doesn't have mental illness. Let me just say that. Actually, let me say, you have mental illness. Yeah. I have mental illness. Like, if you actually know what it is, you got it. Like, so don't walk out of here and go, yeah, I'm walking away with some mental illness. Like, not that thinking. But what I'm saying is that this is rampant. And about 3 years ago, I felt like one of the things that the Lord said to me was that if the church doesn't shift and get ready for this, they're not going to be ready for what's coming. So I'm not a person of prophecy to doom, but I did feel like the Lord said many things are going to happen, and the aftermath of what's going to happen, if the church is not equipped, she will get run over. So I see this as an opportunity for the church to get equipped. Like, we have to get equipped, not to the ideal world, but the real world. So the real world in front of us is traumatized. And the real world in front of us is dealing with mental health issues, because fear is rampant. And more than anything else, what the enemy will use is fear. Fear to run over people's minds, and fear of what could go wrong. You know what I'm saying? So as the church, don't just for your own healing today, take what you learn so that you can actually encourage the people around you. Because I guarantee the world around you, that's what they're worried about. That's what their struggle is. Is that okay? Are we okay? So the meaning, the purpose, the goal, that's a quick sort of summary of that. But just to encourage you, I know that the Lord will in all kinds of ways meet us today and challenge you in different ways, and write down some questions that you have, and we'll try to get to them. Amen? Stand up for a minute. Let's pray. Dad, just put your hand over your heart. I'm just going to pray. Not like a speed prayer, but a speed prayer. So, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for today. We want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for being here. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the power of your word. We want to thank you for the gift of salvation. We want to thank you for the gift of wholeness and healing and the restoration of the person. And I pray, Lord, throughout this entire day, Lord, that's what you do with each and every one of us in all kinds of different ways. Let your word go deep. Let it go deep within us, Lord. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you in this place today. We just say, you just have your way. Amen.